Welcome to another message from all the parables in the Bible. We're studying the book of James right now, the parables and metaphors, similes, allegories, hyperboles in the book of James. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Let your endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, without doubting, for the man who doubteth is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Let no man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. But let the brother of a humble circumstances glory in his high posture and high position. And let a rich man glory in his humility, because like flowering grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with a scorching wind and withers the grass, and its flower falls off, and the beauty of its appearance is destroyed. So too the rich man in the midst of his pursuits will fade away. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say, when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. And then his lust conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation and no shifting of shadows. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we might be, as it were, the first fruits among his creatures. This you know, my beloved brethren, let every one be quick to hear, and slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility and receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers, and delude yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person that he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides in it, having become not a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does. If anyone thinks himself to be religious, yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. This is pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and keep oneself unstained, unspotted by the world. Chapter 2. My brethren, do not hold your faith in glorious Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism. For if a man comes into your assembly with a good gold ring and a dress in fine clothes, and there also comes a poor man in dirty, filthy rags, and you pay special attention to the one who's wearing the fine clothes and say to him, you sit over here in a good place, and you say over to the poor man, you sit over there under my footstool, you become my footstool. Have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil motives? Listen, my brethren, my beloved brethren, do not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? But you have disowned the poor man. Is not the rich who oppress you and personally drag you into court? Do they not blaspheme the fair name by which you have been called? If, however, you are fulfilling the royal law according to the Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show partiality and you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as a transgressor, for who keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point has become guilty of the whole law? For he who said, do not commit adultery, and said, do not commit murder, now if you do not commit adultery, but do not commit murder, you have become transgressors of the law still. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment will be merciless to the one who has shown no mercy, and mercy triumphs over judgment. What use is it, my brethren, if a man says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace and be warmed and filled, and yet you not give them what is necessary for their body, and what use is that? Even so, faith, has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, so do well. The demons also believe and shudder and tremble. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? What, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his own son, on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of works, faith was perfected. And Scripture was fulfilled, saying, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For just as the whole body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such shall incur the stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put the bits in the horses' mouths so that they may obey us, then we direct their entire body as well. Behold, the ships also, though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. Behold, how great a force is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, and the very world of iniquity, and the tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body, and sets on fire the course of our life, as it is set on fire by hell itself. For every species of beasts and birds and reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness and the image of God. From the same mouth come forth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does the fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Neither can salt water produce fresh water. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior in his deeds and the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter and jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not of that which comes down from above, but is earthly and natural, demonic. Is natural and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is pure, that peaceable, gentle, and reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits and unwavering and without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is it not the source of your pleasures that wage war in your own members? You lust and do not have, and you commit murder, and you are envious and cannot obtain. So you fight and you quarrel, and yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, and so that you may spend it all on your pleasures and lusts. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God, and therefore whosoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God? Or do you think the Scripture speaks to no purpose and no avail? He jealously desires the Spirit which He made us to dwell in us, and He gives a greater grace. But He gives greater grace, therefore He says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep, lest your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. Do not speak one against the other, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, and the one is able to save and destroy. But who are you who judge your neighbor? Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, and we shall go into such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then it vanishes away. Instead of you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and also do this or that. But it, as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does it not, to him it is sin. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for the miseries which are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted, your garments have become moth-eaten, your gold and your silver have rusted, and your rust will be a witness against you and will consume you, your flesh like fire. It is in the last days that you have stored up for your treasure, for your retirement. Behold, the pay of the laborers who mowed your fields, which have been held by you, cries out against you, and the outcry of those who did the harvesting and reached the ears of the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth. You have lived luxuriously in the earth and led a life of wanton pleasure. You have fattened your hearts in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and put to death the righteous man. He does not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the fair farmer waits the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains. You too be patient and strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. As an example, therefore, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, and that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. But above all, my brethren, do not swear, either by heaven or earth, or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, that you may not fall under judgment. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. If anyone is cheerful, let him sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Doctor the man. And in the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Elijah is a man with such a natural, with nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. It did not rain for the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. My brethren, if anyone among you strays from the truth, and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from his error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. What a book.
Yeah,
sure is. Now let's see what Mr. Lockyer says about this little book. James, Peter, John, and Jude, all alike familiar with the Christ symbolic teaching through contact with him and employ the same method, if only in somewhat limited degree. The parabolic material in James, as the Lord's brother, he would not be ignorant of the illustrative way that Jesus had presented his message. Thus, in his epistle written to his own countrymen scattered all over the earth, James was uses striking similes in writing of a practical Christian living to his Christian brethren. His denunciation and rebukes and warnings are couched in appealing imagery, making his epistle not worthless as one straw, as Martin Luther called it, worthless as one straw. One of sterling worth to every believer. Here is a brief summary of the figures and speech that James employs. Waves. Those who waver in faith and are double-minded are compared to a wave of the sea driven by the wind and tossed. Yet the one who walks the troubled sea is near the storm-tossed soul to console and deliver. Grass. The rich exhorted to manifest lowly mindedness and are reminded that in spite of their possessions they must pass away as a flower. All of us die. What a simple yet forceful simile of human instability and vanity is presented here. James 1:9-11, Isaiah 40:6-8. Drawn and dragged. Those who yield to temptation are described as being drawn and dragged by their own lust. The striking figures drawn and tied reveal the sad process of temptation they yielded to. The first expression does not yet mean drawn by the hook. It means to draw to the hook. Not drawn by the hook, but draw to the hook. There are two successive drawings, very diverse in character. In classic Greek, the first term is indifferently applied to both. But in this case, the circumstances combine it to one. The first is a drawing towards the hook. The second is a dragging by the hook. The first drawing is invisible power, and the second is a rude and cruel physical constraint. The first is a secret enticement of the will, and the second is an open and outrageous oppression by a superior force, binding the slave and destroying him. How imperative it is to discern the subtle satanic hook and to follow the exhortation of the master to watch and pray lest we enter into temptation. And once hooked by the way of the transgressor, the way of the transgressor becomes hard. The looking glass. James warning us of self-deception. We must be the doers of the word and hearers, not hearers only. The man who only hears but fails to act upon what he hears is like a man beholding a natural face in the glass. And the glass or a mirror is God's infallible word, a true mirror of the soul. Too many look into the mirror and see themselves as they actually are in God's holy word. But the vision is only superficial or momentary, for they continue to live unto themselves. That glass can be transforming of heart and life, beholding as it is a mirror of the glory of the Lord, and we are changed into the same image of Christ. The bridle, the bit, the rudder, the fire. The bridle is the most unruly member of the bridle is for the most unruly member of the body, the tongue. It is subjection to him into whose lips grace was poured. Then the whole body will be controlled. The bit. By means of the bit, the wildest of horses may be tamed. Mastery is gained by discipline and by severity of the bit, by the way. I lived here in early 1950s, and there were still bits hanging in the old livery stables where the stagecoaches were. Some of those bits were rolled in barbed wire. Some horses were so hard to handle, they just ripped their mouths to pieces. And they drove them and drove them and drove them in teams out here in this country, from Tonopah, Fish Lake Valley, Goldfield. And the horses sometimes would bleed to death and strangle in their own blood with those harsh bits to hold them in control. And they would cut them out of harness and leave them on the side of the road dead. Bound on the road dead. If we allow Christ to watch over our lips, then our whole body will be directed by His will. The rudder. The very small helm, or tiny rudder of a mighty ship, helps to direct its course. The tongue is only a little member, but is often boastful of what it can do. The tongue directs the ship either in the right course or in the disastrous course. The fire. The smallest spark may kindle a forest fire. A glass. A bottle thrown out into the grass in a forest. The sun shining on it can start a fire from one spark and wipe out a whole forest. James had in mind the picture of the wrapping of some vast forest in flame by the falling of a single spark. Then he applies the illustration, the tongue is a fire. And that world of iniquity, and how we need to exhibit the godly discipline of silence and thus escape the damaging effects of the uncurbed, unbridled tongue. God promised that all kinds of beasts would be mastered in Genesis 1:26-28. The most untamed creature can be won by kindness, patience, and gratitude. But the tongue, James says, no man can tame. What is not possible with man, however, is possible with God. The fountain. Salt water and fresh water do not come from a fountain. It's either one or the other. From it comes evil or good, and poison or healing, and cursing or blessing. Wild berries or figs, salt water or fresh. If we would be wise, then we must trust the Lord to control our tongue, making possible, thereby, a good conversation coupled with works of meekness and wisdom and gentleness and peace. What we need to have to pray Job's practical prayer, teach me and I will hold my tongue. The vapor. Life is like a vapor. Here now and gone in a moment. We all know that, don't we? If you've lived long enough, you've buried many of your friends, your mother, your father, your sisters, your brothers, whatever. To all those who are abandoned to pleasure, absorbed in the quest of gain or material advancement, James has a warning as to the uncertainty of the future as well as the brevity of life. This practical apostle asks, what is your life? And then goes on to say, this is your life. It is even a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Man counts on tomorrow, but tomorrow may never come. All he has lived for may pass away in one breath. People killed themselves in 1929 over the stock market crash because they could not live in poverty. They had lived in pleasure so long, they'd rather die. Thus we are in a shallow dust, because the future in the hand of God and His will is best. Possessions and time must be under the control of one supreme wise and living will. Our attitude at all times must be the will of Him, our Lord. The husbandman. James, who has much to say about the grace of patience, urges the saints to be patient in the light of the Lord's return as a husbandman to gather his precious fruit. When James uses this simile, did he have in mind his illustrious brother's parable of himself as a husbandman who, at his return from a faraway country, would gather his harvest? Impatience on our part is a sign of weakness. We must emulate the patience of him who has waited so long for a great ingathering of our Lord. What a book. The book of James. Our Heavenly Father, we send this message out again for your honor, for your glory, for your will. Convict us of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come as we read this great book. Father, thank you for the blessings you give us in this life. Help us to live what we speak, and help us to beware of all the evils in this world, and help us to resist Satan and to follow you each step at a time. Forgive me where I fail you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.